Okay, so that's the program then. I just want to thank a few people involved in putting this thing together. As usual, Rav David Friedlander, with Prime Rich, Rachel Sol, Norman Lee behind the scenes, taking care of the shopping, the cooking, the preparing, making sure that the breakfast is on time. The hearing is anonymously sponsored and donated and made by the Prime Rich. The idea for this event came from Rav Nochum Zutshin, who approached me. We were about to make breakfast here anyway this week, and we decided to combine it. The Hashgacha protest that landed up having this event on the Yortzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu and the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is what I'm going to talk about today, had nothing to do with that. We never had breakfast here on a Thursday. Because Dominique Long, it doesn't work out, but it worked out that that's something that was right at the good time, and that's the way this whole thing just Hashgacha was, is it landed up today. And Hashgacha, that is quite awesome, we'll see, because what we want to speak today is the most important person in the entire Purim story, who is Moshe Rabbeinu. And none of you were expecting that, unless those of you heard this already last week, but you'll hear it again, maybe with some slight differences. V'shenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. V'shenichnas Cheshvan Marvin B'Simcha. Correct? No. We wait until Chanukah, and then we have Chanukah. So why don't we just wait for Purim and have Purim? What's V'shenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha? We know that the Gemara tells us that Haman threw lot for a hagrala, what we call a pur. He drew lots and it fell in Adar. And the Gemara tells us he was very excited because he knew that Klal Yisrael in Adar is very vulnerable, that he could be matzliach in his mission. Because in Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu died. Well, it says he just didn't know that in Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu was also born, and therefore he wouldn't be successful. Which was quite surprising, because Haman knew his Jewish history well enough to know in which month Moshe Rabbeinu died. Not too many going in the street know when Moshe Rabbeinu died, in which month. But somehow they forgot to teach him. He only got 50% on his history exam. He's like the rabbi, you ask him a shayla, he tells you that was in the 20% when I failed the exam, I got 80%. The question you're asking is, in the 20% I didn't know. Haman knew when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, but he didn't know when he died, but he didn't know when he was born. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu dying and being born have to do with Tanisol being a Sakana? But that's what the Gemara says. Had it not been for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was also born in Adar, Klal Yisrael were doomed. Haman was correct. We were doomed. It's only that, in the Lashon of Rashi there, whatever that means, that somehow Moshe Rabbeinu's presence, the fact that he was born, saves us. If not, we would have been doomed. What's that got to do with anything? The Midrash Esther Rabba tells us that a Polish Baruch Hu said to Haman, he always didn't say to Haman because Haman didn't have the schus of having a Polish Baruch Hu talk to him, but he said about Haman, Tipesh eva tipshi, you idiot. You're trying to destroy the Jewish people? I tried and I couldn't. After the Chet Ha'egel, I wanted to destroy the Jewish people and I couldn't, kiviyochel. Why not? Because Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't let me. Moshe Rabbeinu stood in the breach. And you think you can destroy Klal Yisrael? I couldn't. You idiot, fool, tipish ever tipship. So when Haman saw that the Hagrala, the poor, fell on Adar, that's the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died, he was very excited because Moshe Rabbeinu is not yet to protect Klal Yisrael like he was then. That's what comes out of these chazal. There's a couple of questions here. First of all, how did Haman not know that it was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died? I was born. Second of all, what Moshe Rabbeinu standing in the breach after the Chet Ha'egel got to do with in Shushan years later. Well, what's the connection? Why are we still connected somehow to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he protects us, his birth protects us? But in Adar, he somehow he dies, and now his birth doesn't protect us. Well, what's going on in these Gemara? Pretty strange, to say the least. There's one last Nakuda. What does this have to do with Chodesh Adar? Purim's in Adar, Seder, but what does it have to do with the man? And the Pasuk in the Megillah tells us that this was the Chodesh Shenafu. It says, HaChodesh Shenafu, the Chodesh was Nafu. Chodesh is Nafu. Chodesh is Nafu. Okay. Let's try and understand what's going on here. We've been dealing the last few weeks, leading up to Purim, with the Pasha dealing with the Hakamas, the building of the Mishkan. Truma Tetzava is the tzivoy of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu to build the Mishkan. There's no mention of the tzaddal there. A Kodesh Baruch Hu commands Moshe to build the Mishkan.
Oh, that's right. I forgot to do your toast. I'm so sorry.
Leading all the way through to the actual building of the Mishkan, where suddenly B'tzadl gets on in the scene and he builds it. Very interesting. If you look at the command, the tzivoy of the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu, he is first commanded to make the Oren V'Kelim and then the Mishkan. You have to get this clear. The whole sikha today is based on these yosodim. First the Kelim and then the Mishkan. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu afterwards to tell him, to tell Bezalel, he mentions first the Mishkan and then the Kelim. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Bezalel and he tells him like he heard originally, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him now. He goes back to first the Kelim and then the Mishkan. And we'll see in the Gemara here, Bezalel has a very interesting time on Moshe Rabbeinu. Fascinating dialogue here takes place between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bezalel. B'shash amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe Gvorim Brochus Daf Nun Hay. At the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Mishkan Oren V'Kelim. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Bezalel to go build me a Mishkan, the outside, and then the furniture, the inner workings, the Oren V'Kelim. Halach Moshe V'Hafach. Moshe Rabbeinu did his own Nafuch. Amalo, Oysa Oren V'Kelim. Mishkan Oren V'Kelim. The Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bezalel, the other way around. First the Kelim and then the Mishkan. Omaloi, so Bezalel, 13-year-old Bezalel, now in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. This street. Moshe Rabbeinu, Minhag Shalailo. The way of the world is not like you told. The way of the world is Adam Boina Bais Va'achakach Machnis the Seicha Kelim. First you build a house and then you put in the furniture. You don't put the furniture and sort of like build the house around it. You first build the house, and then you put in the furniture. Kalim va'ata oimili osili oren v'kalim v'mishka? You tell me the other way around. Kalim shani oisel eichen achmiso? Where am I going to put the kalim that you told me to build? Shema kach amala kodosh baruch hu. Perhaps this is what a kodosh baruch hu told you. Osam mishkan oren v'kalim. Maybe Kodesh Baruch Hu told you first build the Mishkan and then the Oren V'Kelim. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Shema Betzel Kel Hayito. Perhaps your Betzel Kel, Betzel is made up of two words. Betzel Kel, in the shadow of Hashem. Since you're in the shadow of Hashem, be a data. Yeah, do it your way. You know better. Interesting dialogue, no? 13-year-old having a dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu actually says, yeah, you know better. Which is mind-boggling because Moshe Rabbeinu was Ba'aspakalia Hamira. Moshe Rabbeinu saw reality crystal clear. crystal. There was no interference. But Seol is in the shadow. What's a shadow? Shadows where there's a lack of light. It's a lower level. So because you're on a lower level, do what you know better. What's going on here? Doesn't make any sense. First the Kalim, then the Mishka. The Tuttle's right. You know, the Shalila. We don't do things like that. Rajavani says, yeah, you're Betzalkel, you know better. I'm Baspatai Meira. I even argue with Hashem, because Hashem told me afterwards, go tell Betzalel, Mishkan, Vekalim. And I said, no, Hashem, I'm doing it my way. But Betzalel, you're right. Strange, no? Based on the share that I heard from Todrus Miller from Gateshead and Tony that I learned together with Tats and some of my own ideas, let's try and make some sense out of this. Lamaisa, the Yisod we're going to come out with actually happens today. The Moshe Rabbeinu's death and birth is really what this whole thing's about. We'll see what it's about. And it has a lot to do with us. Those of you who know me know that you're going to come away with something Lamaisa. We'll see that it's very Lamaisa. But let's try and understand what's going on here. Let's just take a dugma. There's many, many examples there. You can take this very far. You'll see how much time we have. But we at least want to get the principles in place. The pasuk in Tehillim in Kuf Yud Tes, David HaMelech, just 1 second, Ches, Zayin Ches. David HaMelech says, Chishavti Drochem, a simple translation. I thought about my way, Vashiva Raglai Eleido Sefer. And I returned my legs back to your statutes, back to your way. David HaMelech doing cheshbon hanefesh, he realizes he thinks that needs correction, and he goes back. Vashiva raglai el eidoy sechol. Here's the midrash on this part. Chishavti drochai. David HaMelech is a king. He's a very busy man. He had a lot on his head. It was a full-time job being a king, I assume. Taking care of that many giving is a full-time job. And he says, I get up in the morning and I think about what I'm going to do today. I've got lots to do. But this meeting, that wall, this to take care of. But I see my legs just, and the next thing I'm in the base midrash. My legs automatically drag me into the base midrash. I'm driven. I can't. I'm on my way to some office to have a meeting. The next thing I'm sitting in the Beis Midrash learning. My legs propel me automatically into the Beis Midrash. What's he describing here, David HaMelech? David HaMelech, he's tzama nafshi. He's driven. His whole world is driven with an inner burning, an inner desire, inner yearning to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be connected to Avodah. And his body is just automatically schlepped along. We know, you see people, we sometimes have it as well. You're inspired, you're learning with the Shmat, you're davening with Bren, your mitzvahs, your tzedakah, your Benola Chaveru, there's just this inner burning, there's this inner desire to connect. We have moments like that. And that's what David HaMelech is describing here. David HaMelech is burning, he's plotting, he can't hold himself back. It's an automatic process. His body is drawn after what's going on inside of him. But we know it's not always that way. We very often just don't feel it. We learn and we daven because we know we have to. It's the right thing to do, but we just don't get it. We don't feel it. And sometimes it can get so bad that a person thinks, what am I doing? Perhaps I'm just not cut out for it. This is just not what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. I'm doing it and doing it, and I just don't feel it. And a person could even get to some massive of yush. He sees other people going and learning and getting so much out of it, and it's automatic, and he just doesn't feel too comfortable with what he's doing. He just doesn't feel it. There are matzavim like that. So there's a rishon here that sort of rescues us from this matzav, the chinuch, the rishon. His entire yesod of pedagogics, of chinuch principles, he teaches in a very interesting way, in the love of not breaking the bone of the Korban Pesach. If I would ask you where in the chinuch, anywhere in the Torah, you would put, where you would lay down your hilchus chinuch, I don't know if you would have chosen. Anyway, go have a look there. I'm not going to go through the whole shtickle here. Fascinating white stuff there. As part of your hachana for Pesach, you should certainly see that chinuch. Huh? It's in Mitzvah Tezai, in Bo. The Lord lives for Etzim in a Pesach. Go have a look there in the beginning, but I'm going a bit later. He says like this. Vatabni. Listen to me, my son. If you've got some bina, if you have some understanding, you'll listen to what I'm saying. Incline your ear and listen. I'm going to teach you something that will help you enormously in your Torah and your mitzvah. Da, you should know. Adam A person functions and is driven via his deeds. His heart and all his thoughts. The inner world, the inner feelings are drawn after the maisim that you do. In all he can think about is doing evil. He'll pick himself up and he'll start being Isaac in Torah and mitzvahs. Miyad. I guess miyad means imperatively, not immediately, but that will happen. He will be inclined towards the good. He will destroy his yetzahara through his deeds. He's a big tzaddik. His only desire is for Torah and mitzvahs. He'll get involved in things that are not exactly. Even if he doesn't want to, someone forces him to start doing evil things. He will go away from his tzitkas and become a Rosh Agomo. It's known, it's emes, he repeats himself here. Everybody is drawn after his deeds, as I have told you. So here we have the remedy. You want to know what you do? You do it. And then after, the fulois will be in shochim halavavos. Dover HaMelech is the exact opposite. Dover HaMelech is the pu'ulois, the deed on Imshachu Achalavavos. His legs go automatic. He doesn't have to get his legs to come into the best midrash and slowly he'll get it inside. He's burning inside already, so the legs just do what they have to do. We're on a lower level. We have to first do it, and then you start feeling it. Just a quick example of this. It says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Hakol Hoylech Lefi Roiv HaMaisa. Roiv HaMaisa, not God LaMaisa. Everything goes after the amount of deeds you're doing. So the Rambam brings from there, Halacha LaMaisa, that it's better to give $1 to 100 people. The fundraisers don't like this. But I can tell you, you hide this from the donors. But what can I do? So then to give $100 to one person. Why? Because the more you give stocker, the more you become a bald stocker. The Meiri goes one step further. He says, the more you get it, it's better to give $1 to 50 people than to give $100 to one person. Even in the end, you would be giving more money. Hashem doesn't need your money. You need the Meiser stocker to become a bald stocker. This is one application of this, that the Levavo is a Mimshach Achar Pulit. When did this change? When did we go from, let's call it David HaMelech, to what the Chinuch is talking about? That happened at Chet HaEgel. Pre-Chet HaEgel, post-Chet HaEgel. That's when the change took place. We know that before Chet HaEgel, we got Luchos Rishon. It's a whole subject on its own, but Luchos Rishon was Ma'aseh Elokim. The writing was Chorus, was Ma'aseh Elokim. The entire thing was Ma'aseh Elokim. After the Chet HaEgel, the Luchos Rishon were broken, they were shattered, and we moved into Luchos Sheni. Luchos Sheni is Sol Lecha. You have to go carve it. You have to go make it now. You're not getting it for free anymore. You're not getting the inspiration and then you just go after the inspiration. You have to Sol Lecha. Sol Lecha. You have to make it happen. The Luchos are the marshal for the lay. Tovol liboy luchos halev. The losh of the luchos halev, huh? Luch libecha, that's right. The luchos is always a marshal for the lave. That's why you'll see sometimes in some of the shuls when they have a picture of the luchos, there's a little circle on the top. Which is strange because the luchos were square. That was a reminder that there's heart taking place here. Apparently what the minag was, that's where it came from. Not just somebody decided to put two little fish with him on it. Anyway, that's not our subject. I want to work out what not to say. No, there's too much here. Once you start understanding this, anyway. The shattered pieces of the Luchos Rishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to put them in the Oreb, together with the Luchos Sheni. Why? To tell you that that level is still available. It doesn't go away. How did David HaMelech get there? He's post Chet HaEgel. How did he live in a world of Po'eleis Nimshachim Ala Levavos? That's not our way. Where did he get that from? Where did he get that from? Because the opportunity to connect back to that is still there. It exists. When? We'll see. The Kalim of the Mishkan and the Mishkan and the Mishkan itself, the Chovas HaLevavos says, is a tzura, is an identical representation of an Adam. The Tselem and the Dmus of an Adam is exactly in the Mishkan, and the Mishkan and Adam are exactly the same. We don't know what this means, but we know that the Nefesh HaChaim tells us that all the working, the Balei Musa say this already, it's taught in Sifrei Chassidus, the Talmudim say this, all the workings and the Avodah in the Mishkan is there to tell an Adam how to work on himself. The lathe is at the center, the Kodesh HaKadosh is in the center, what center means. All the workings, the entire Mishkan and all the Kalim is a direct Dmus, the Tavnis of an Adam. Whatever that means. That means, if Adam changed from pre-Chet HaEgel to post-Chet HaEgel, then the Mishkan also has to change. The Mishkan pre-Chet HaEgel is one Mishkan. The Mishkan post-Chet HaEgel is going to be another Mishkan. In what area? Well, do you do the Kalim first, or do you do the Mishkan first? What goes after what? Are the Levavos Nimshach as a Puloysev, or the Puloysev Nimshach as a Levavos? The Kalim represent the inner working, the inner heart of the Mishkan. The Mishkan itself is the external. It's the outside of the Mishkan. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who is unaffected by the Chet HaEgel, he stays on the dagger of Pu'uloiso Nimshachim HaChal of Avos. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him before Chet HaEgel, build the Kalim and then the Mishkan, because the inner working is what's going to build the Mishkan, not the other way around. You have an inner drive, an inner burning, and that's what's going to create the external manifestation. Moshe Rabbeinu can't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him after the Chet HaEgel, first the Mishkan and then the Kalim, because that's the Levavos Nimshach HaChapulosov, and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand. What are you talking about? David HaMelech doesn't understand what you're talking about. Moshe Rabbeinu for sure doesn't understand what you're talking about. So what does he tell Bezalel? First build the inner world and then the Mishkan will happen. The title says to you, Minhag HaShelolam. Moshe Rabbeinu, we live in a world. We live in a Minhag HaShelolam. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you first the Mishkan and then the Kalim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? You're on a lower level. You're in the world Betzel Kel, where the light's been hidden because of the Chet HaEgel. You're right, in that world, the Levavos is Anim Shachach and Puloysev, you have to first build the Mishkan and then you'll get the Kalim. Shema Betzel Kel V'yadayte. In my world, I'm still holding my Luchos Rishon. I wasn't there for the Chet HaEgel. I have no shaykhus to the Chet HaEgel. I'm still Ba'aska Plaga Meira. In that world, you can't build the Mishkan and then the Kalim. That's the Chinuch. Aval Minhago Shaloyla, after the Chet HaEgel. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Talmud. Okay. What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with Purim? What does that have to do with the questions we ask? Let's not understand. Haman didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar. He knew that he died, but didn't know that he was born. What does it mean that you're born on the day you die? Means on your birth certificate it says Zayin Adar, and on your death certificate it says Zayin Adar. You were born on the day you died, you died on the day you were born. Okay. But the Kadmonim, the early Mefarshim on this, I can't go into it now. It's a long discussion. You have to just take my word for it or not, Raman. But the vote is like this. As long as a person's alive, you can't always access the person and his Torah. The person and his Torah is encapsulated within him, and you can't access it. The Gemara says a person only understands his Rebbe properly after he's died, after he's passed away. Now you understand your Rebbe properly. Holzman is alive. That's not a reason to get excited, girl. Just because. I saw you used. Ticking there, yeah. So anyway, you'll understand my sharing. Stick around. We'll wait for 120 years. Not understanding what I was telling you. On the day that a person dies, what's born into the world is that Torah that was inaccessible from him before. Now that he's died, we say it almost the day of Tzachos, Achrei Mos Kedoshim. You know, we make after the person passed away, suddenly he becomes a big tzaddik, and everyone starts talking about him, and starts hearing about his stories, they write books about him. When he was alive, nobody gave him 2 minutes, but now everyone starts hearing about him, thinking about him, because on that day, there's a dimension of him that's born. Haman knew what it was written in his Rada Pnim about Moshe Rabbeinu's birth and death, but he didn't understand this Yisod, that there's something inside of every one of us that is untainted and unaffected by anything that's happened, not the Chet of Adam Arishon and not the Chet HaEgel. The Shvirus HaLuchos are still there because we can access them. We can connect to them. You know why? Because on Adar Zayin, Moshe Rabbeinu died and gave birth to that Dargah he had, that Adam Arishon before the Chet. God came into the world now and is now accessible to everybody. When Dafka? Mishenif Nasada, Marvin Basimki. In Adar, particularly Zayin Adar, and I told you it was shocking because I had no intention of speaking about anything else, and I didn't choose the date. It happened to interesting Ashkofa practice that you brought it, which could only come today. Otherwise, we would have done it yesterday and it wouldn't have been Zayin Adar. But mamash today, the work starts. Today is Moshe Rabbeinu's Yortzeit. What happened on his Yortzeit is he was born now. That connection we have to Moshe Rabbeinu is still here. And Haman understood if Moshe Rabbeinu dies, the connection to Klal Yisrael, which saved them after the Chet HaEgel is no longer here. So that which Hashem feeding me, I couldn't kill Klal Yisrael because of Moshe Rabbeinu. Haman says, well, I can because there's no Moshe Rabbeinu here. What he didn't know is that Moshe Rabbeinu's dagger, what enabled Moshe Rabbeinu to say Klal Yisrael is available to every Yid. You know why? Because inside every Yid, that still exists. What we call in Yiddish, the Pintel Yid. That pure, untainted piece of Jew that never gets affected. Even a person gets chorus chas for chalila, the Nefesh man says there's a part of him that is never chorus. There's a part that stays pure and kodesh. And by the way, that's what Achashverosh and Haman wanted to get. They wanted to Megala the Hester, that hidden dimension of every Jew, which is kodesh. The Bach says that he'll fill even. The Bach says that every Yid is kodesh for Torah. There's an inner piece of him that never gets tainted, never affected. It gets covered over and plastered over, and there's a lot of muck and sins and dirt, whatever. But inside, it's a locker. You beat the guy until he says, right, Sani. Because inside, everybody wants to do the right thing. Everybody wants to do the right thing. Everybody wants to be Achrei HaLebobois Nimshochim HaPu'ulois. And we have it. We have access to it because it never got destroyed. It can never be destroyed. And that's what Haman and Ahasuerus are going after. They want to be Megala the Est and destroy that. That's what's going on in Purim. And it's Moshe Rabbeinu that comes along and saves us, because Moshe Rabbeinu gives us a connection to Klal Yisrael before the Chet HaEgel. It enables that piece of us to come out and to express itself and to function with his spyness, with inspiration, with connection. And we can touch even temporarily. We always go back to the chinuch. We live in the world. We don't live there. Live there. We don't live there. But in Adar, and particularly at the peak on Purim, where there's a new Kabbalah Satoira, Kabbalah Satoira, that's what? That's pre-chet ha'egel. On Yom Kippur, we got Luchay Shein. If we know that Purim is higher than Yom Kippur. Yom HaKippurim. The Rizal says with inference being that Yom Kippur is greater than Purim. That Purim is greater than Yom Kippur. Where? Because on Purim, you can get back to Adam Klal Yisrael before Chet HaEgel. You can get back to Luchas Rishon. That's what you can touch on Purim. But Shain Ken on Yom Kippur, you get Luchas Sheini. I'll just add this in. It's not our subject now. But on Purim, we go back to Adam Rishon before the Chet. Never mind. Klal Yisrael before the Chet HaEgel. But you can get back to Adam Rishon before the Chet as well, because that's a requirement for Kabbalah Sotayrim. We know that on Purim, there was a Kabbalah Sotayrim. I can prove it to you, but not now, we don't have time. Tomorrow, I'll prove it to you. Some of you know this already. That on Purim, we go back to Adam Rishon before the Chet. That untainted piece of Yid that never gets affected by any Chet is still within us. And you can go back to that. You go back to Chet HaEgel, you go back to Luchas Rishon, you go back to Adam Rishon before the Chet. And that's why on Purim we say Lo Sikalmi Velo Sevoishi. There's no bush or no chlima. On Yom Kippur we say what? On Purim there's no bush or chlima, because in that place where there's no chet, where we never did anything wrong, where we're completely pure, where we oran v'kelim and then the Mishkan, so then there's no chet, so there's no bush, there's no chlima. This is one of the applications of this. Okay. We're going to stop here, but just there's a lot more to say. Yeah, maybe next Purim we'll speak about it. Remind me. But it's in Kriya Shema as well, by the way. The first parsha of Kriya Shema is what? His first Kabbalah Samach Shemaim, first the Lev, and then Badvarim Ma'ivu. The second, starts Vahayim Shemaim Tishmo. If you first listen to the mitzvahs, then you'll come to the Chol Levavchem. First parsha is a high one, it's Ava. The second one is here, it's a lower level. There are many, many applications of it in many places. So that's the avoider of Adam. That's the avoider of Purim, is to try and connect to this inspiration. Avoider to carry on doing things because that's the way your heart will get aroused. But to try in these weeks to arouse the heart, to try and find the kibbutz elokim itnim, to try and find the rots on the desire, because now's the time to do it. Most of you, it's very hard to do that. But the opportunity exists now. By the way, that's what it says, what's the sod? The sod is this, the secret piece of each yid that is there, untainted, kodesh, totally unaffected by anything that's ever happened to it. That's what comes out. The yayin was the chet of Eitz Hadat, according to the Gemara there, one shit. The ticket for that is the yayin. Okay, other the order is another shia. I'm not going to go into that now. Anyway, so we should daven, we should have, where is the Rebbe's? Okay. We should mamash. We are living through very complex times, difficult times, probably so. Yeah, there, everywhere. And we came together to try and be machazak. What we do, everyone has his own way of doing it. We do it through, last the Torah, the Midas Chosodim. How do you avoid the trembling, the suffering of the Mosa Mashiach? Is through Torah v'chesed. So the Torah we're doing, the Zat Hashem, the Chesed, those of you who helped to sponsor this event, to put it together, there's still opportunities, everyone's interested. But more importantly, is the, everybody knows, Arav Shapiro, the son of the Rebbe is also involved in what I want to say now. His father-in-law has been, long before, very involved in Kiev, working in Kiev and working in the communities there. Obviously today it doesn't need too much elaboration, that the matzav there is mamash b'sikon and nefashos for many yidden, and they're out there working and doing whatever they can. They need a lot of help. So he asked me, you'll sumech on me. He doesn't know what a lousy fundraiser I am. But we let him know. Dvarim ha'yotzim analeiv ulai nichnas laleiv. Perhaps together with the Lysok Dakota we're going to be doing today. Also, anybody who wants to contribute, there's a big matching going on today. They're trying to get money together for all sorts of life-saving material. Should see Rav Shapiro, and he can give you the details of how you can be licensed with Torah. We'll help you with, and he'll help you with licensing. Thank you very much for everybody for coming. We'll bench now, and then afterwards, anybody who wants to be set up with either a group of chavrusa to prepare the material for the share that chavrusas will give later, please see me. Okay, we'll try and set you into a proper group. Essentially, what I want to do is ora from, go to your normal share, and we'll work there, and then we'll take it from there. Binyamin, do you have the sheets and whatever?
I'll tell you now.